Kazakhstan, working class revolt only suppressed by massive mobilization of troops. Claire Doyle, Committee for a Workers' International, CWI. 1 week after an unprecedented struggle by the country's oppressed exploded onto the streets of Kazakhstan, an uneasy quiet has fallen in the commercial capital Almaty, where Kazakh state forces, backed by Russian paratroops, enforce their military grip. At least 8,000 have been arrested and detained, hundreds killed, and unknown numbers badly injured. It was the doubling of fuel prices on the first day of 2022 which sparked the uprising, that spread like wildfire. Protests, including strike action, started in the heroic southwestern city of Zhanaozen, scene of the massacre of striking oil workers 10 years ago. Strikes and mass demonstrations then spread across the vast country, which borders China in the east and Russia in the north. A terrified government, that has acted for decades on behalf of national and international oligarchs and bankers, quickly reversed the fuel price rise. But the floodgates were open. There was a mass coming out onto the central squares of towns and cities throughout Kazakhstan with fierce battles, including armed combat, erupting in the country's largest city and former capital, Almaty. The picture is unclear, but it appears various armed groups represented conflicting factions of the ruling regime. Workers and young people were united in their demand for an end to rule by kleptocrats and thieves, for a decent standard of living, and for the old man, former President Nursultan Nazarbayev, who continues to pull the strings of government, to go. The country's current president, Kasym-Jomart Tokayev, appointed by Nazarbayev in 2019. Proceeded to dismiss his own prime minister and the whole government, made up of stooges of the father of the nation, Nazarbayev. Nazarbayev had ruled Kazakhstan with an iron hand even before independence from the former Soviet Union, USSR, 3 decades ago. Now it remains unclear whether he himself is even still in the country, or has fled to a luxurious retreat in Abu Dhabi. Much of the detail of the events of the first week of January in Kazakhstan remain mired in accusation and counter-accusation. Tokayev's claims are clearly false, that 20,000 bandits from abroad, and speaking foreign languages, sparked off the deadly clashes in Almaty. But he used this as an excuse to send heavily armed forces into the center of the city, resulting in dozens of deaths as well as arrests and serious injuries. A state of emergency was declared and curfews imposed. But the movement did not disperse. As it strengthened, the president called on 5 January for help from the so-called Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO. This is a body set up soon after the USSR disintegrated 30 years ago, but never before mobilized. The CSTO nations are Kyrgyzstan, Armenia, Belarus and Tajikistan as well as Russia. The entry into the country overnight from thousands of foreign, mostly Russian, troops with lorries and tanks sent shockwaves through the country. Hundreds more people were killed and injured. Splits at the top of society and a kind of palace coup were indicated not only by Tokayev's early removal of Nazarbayev as head of the country's Security Council, but also by his sacking, in the middle of a security crisis, of the actual commander of the security services, Karim Masimov. Two senior officers in the army are now said to have committed suicide. It is not clear how far the ruling clique of oligarchs wants to go and whether, fearing for their own futures, they want to use the razor or the brush. Applying more oppression could lead to new explosions of anger, making concessions could increase the appetite for a movement to end the whole rotten system. But the state brutality already meted out can also stun the movement, which would take time to recover. Putin's fears. Putin does not want to see a popular revolt successful in his backyard. He does not want to see a Russia-friendly regime fall, just as he is trying to show his strength to the Western NATO on the borders of Ukraine. He certainly doesn't want Kazakhstan's mass movement against dictatorship being emulated in Russia, where workers face many of the same problems. How to proceed now is a predicament not only of Tokayev. It too is shared by Putin. He openly said before an online meeting on the 10th of January of the CSTO, that his troops are in Kazakhstan to prevent revolution. The heads of the other governments participating are also understandably wary of uprisings against their own far from democratic regimes. Two of Kyrgyzstan's presidents have been toppled by revolts in the past 15 years. Discontent is growing within Russia over low incomes and deteriorating services. Support for Putin, who himself acts as a dictator, is waning. Injured or dead soldiers returning from either Ukraine or Kazakhstan would only lead to a further erosion of his popularity. Predictably, China's head of state, Xi Jinping, has expressed his full support for the suppression of the movement in Kazakhstan. China has big economic and political interests in the country. Its massive Belt and Road Initiative was launched there in 2013. But many of the viciously oppressed Yui population in China have sought refuge in Kazakhstan and could be infected by the recent events. A full-blown color revolution, supposed attempts by the West to bring about regime change, seems unlikely in Kazakhstan following the dramatic events, in spite of some wealthy capitalists and Western governments favoring a safer environment to carry on their international relations and lucrative investments in this mineral-rich Central Asian country. Apart from coal and oil, Kazakhstan has 40% of the world's uranium and is the major producer of the world's precious metals. For now, it appears that in the face of an overwhelming clampdown, the massive protest movement in Kazakhstan is in abeyance or retreat. The gang of Kazakhstan kleptocrats, with Nazarbayev at their head, has acquired good friends abroad, especially in the UK, see article opposite. There seems little or no support for figures like the exiled oligarch, Mukhtar Ablyazov, inside the country, if he decides to further his own interests. As a convicted fraudster, he can hardly pose as a champion of clean capitalism. There is no such thing. The Augean stables full of state thieves and autocrats can be cleansed only by mass, organized movements of workers. This is undoubtedly the conclusion to be drawn from the as yet unresolved heroic struggle against the Lukashenko regime in Belarus. A handful of oligarchs in Kazakhstan, 162 people, own the bulk of the country's wealth, while the majority of the country's population lives in poverty. It has been seen that increases in basic costs of living, such as the price of fuel, can provoke a massive movement. Organizing opposition at local, regional, and national level is now vital. At the height of the protest movement, democratically elected committees of workers, youth, and poor people at local, regional, and national level were vitally needed to pursue the struggle now begun. Revolutionary Assembly, an assembly of democratically elected representatives, was needed to make thoroughly democratic decisions on the form of government, to replace today's dictatorship with a workers' government. Appeals to soldiers and other forces of the state was necessary, Kazakh as well as foreign, for them to come over to the side of the workers. During the recent events, there were reports that police and soldiers went over to the side of the workers. They need encouragement to build their own unions and structures of control, and appeal to their former partners in crime to come over to the side of the revolution.